Amen, amen. While you're standing, turn to the book of Haggai. We don't look at some of these minor, what we call minor prophets, only minor because their writings are short, not minor in importance. But certainly Haggai 2 and 4 has a message for us today as we begin a new year. Let's read together if you got it, and it'll probably go on the screen. And let's read it out loud. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And obviously the message coming through so loud and clear, be strong. Say that with me. Be strong. Amen. There's a lot that comes against the people of God, lots of situations that we are forced to deal with, but I'm thankful as we sang about victory today, I'm glad that we can put our trust in the Lord who does bring us into victory. Amen. And certainly the effort that we put forth, the faithfulness that we demonstrate, the prayer and fasting that we engage in is all necessary as well. Amen. You can't expect God to do everything. And I'm thankful that we can put our trust in the Lord. Because if there's something that you can do, be strong, that's what God expects. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. This is not the first time in the Word of God that there's a repetition of the admonition to be strong. You turn to the book of Joshua, and in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, the Lord tells Joshua three times, be strong and courageous. Amen. Be strong and courageous. Now remember, the Lord has promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, that doesn't mean that it was all going to be laid out for them. We knew that as they inherited the land, as they stepped into the promised land, that there would be flocks and cattle and so on that would have to be taken care of. There would have to be an expedition and a work to gather that honey. And it was not going to be just on the shelf and you walk down with your cart and a donkey or whatever and load it up and go on home and just live a life of leisure. No, they had responsibility. They had things to step into. There were things that were opposed against them. And so the courageous part that had to be added to the admonition, be strong, that we read here in our verse. I'm thankful in the first 9 verses of that first chapter, the Lord says it 3 times. And then the people echoed that command or that admonition. 4 times it is written in that first chapter. The people echoed that phrase to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Thank the Lord. And Joshua would hear it from the Lord, and then he would recognize and understand the people of God were standing together. The people of God recognized what the Lord would desire from them. The people would respond with, be strong and of a good courage. Thank the Lord. And the reason that they could is found in Joshua 1 and 5. Just as the Lord promised here in this verse that we read to start with, the Lord again is assuring Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Thank God. That's why they could be strong. That's why they could be of good courage, because the hand of God was going to be there for them. Now, Jordan and the Jericho were all challenges that they would face as they entered the promised land. But thank the Lord, God was there to provide for them. Joshua gave instructions for crossing the Jordan. He said, follow the Ark of the Covenant, that box that would seem so nondescript and seem like it really wasn't as grand or as fancy as some of the other idols that were being worshipped in the land, but it was symbolic of the presence of the Lord. And Joshua assured them and told them, go after it. Don't turn aside. Don't go another direction. Don't delay. Go after that ark. Go after the presence of God. And then he told them, the Lord will do wonders among you. Praise God. So they had their encouragement. They had their recognition of the power and the presence of God. And they stepped out as the Lord provided for them. The priests carrying the ark would step into the waters of the Jordan that were overflowing its banks, and the waters would be cut off, and they would march across on dry ground. Joshua designated 12 men. I want you to stop in the middle of the river bank in the river that's dry ground and pick up stones. What are you going to do with those stones? You're going to carry them across. You're going to go all the way to Gilgal with them. I initially thought it just got to the other bank. They climbed up on it, on the side there, and then they made a pile of stones. No, they carried them a great distance. And I can imagine effort was required there. But the memorial of the miracle was important because the next generation needed to remember and understand God made a way. God stopped the waters. God caused them to walk across on dry ground. Praise God. And then instructions for defeating Jericho came as well. God gave Joshua the plan. You would have thought it would be a siege. It would be maybe constructing catapults. Who knows? And certainly archery and scale the walls and go in and open the gate so that the rest of the army can enter in. That wasn't the plan at all. March around the city once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, march around seven times. Seven priests with seven ram's horns will lead the way. That didn't sound like much of a plan. And then he said, don't shout. Don't make any noise with your voice. Don't say a word until I tell you to shout. Well, that seemed even more strange because now they have to be quiet as they marched around the city. But they did it once a day, and the only noise that accompanied them was those seven priests blaring away on the seven ram's horns. But on the seventh day, they rose at dawn. I can imagine an eagerness. I can imagine an anticipation. I can imagine a thrill going through them as they said, this is the seventh day. We're going to march around seven times. And then Joshua is going to give the order to shout. And we're going to shout. And I wonder what God's going to do. I wonder how the Lord is going to bring it about. I wonder how the walls are going to fall. But praise God, they went around those seven times. And the ram's horns blaring away as the priests blew on them. But the seventh time around, Joshua commanded, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Praise God. And you can imagine the volume, the noise, the shout that went up with the anticipation that God is going to bring forth the victory. And down that wall came. Now back up for a minute and consider Rahab, the one who hid the two spies that Joshua had sent into the city. And she's the one who reminded them of the Red Sea as they went across on dry ground. She's the one that reminded them of the victories over the Amorite kings. That happened 40 years before. How in the world can a heathen woman with a character of ill repute, no less, be able to recount to the people of Israel what their God had done for them? Oh, I'll tell you what, I think there are some sinners out here in the world who are remembering some of what the Word of God that they heard, wondering how it happened, wondering how it came about, and desiring to know even more, and waiting for the people of God to come to them and bring them a reminder and an instruction of all that God would provide. Amen. She told those spies, our hearts did melt because of you and because of the Lord your God. Amazing that she would understand the victory is already assured by God for his people. Then she made the request. She asked that her family be saved alive. You talk about being strong and of good courage. I think Rahab demonstrated that. I think she was singular in mind and understanding. There's going to be a change here. There's going to be a defeat of my city, and these people are going to be victorious, and I want them to spare my family. I want them to have mercy. And what was going through her mind as she saw the people of God march around once a day for 6 days? What was happening in her heart? As they came to the seventh day and they marched around the seventh time, I wonder if she thought, are they going to hold true to their promise? Is there going to be mercy for me and my family? Is something going to take place where we are going to be delivered? Thank God, when that wall fell, the young men that were spies went in, the Bible says, and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Oh, thank God. It pays to be strong and of a good courage. God is looking for people who will step forth and say, God, I'm going to stand in your might. God, I'm going to be courageous in your presence. God, I'm going to stand upon your promise. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, because your family is at stake. Others that need to hear the word of God are at stake. God, help us to be able to step forth into the new year and be strong in the Lord and be courageous in our God and stand upon the word of the Lord and believe the promises of God and fearlessly go forth, because the Lord is pushing back the darkness. He is lighting up the kingdom. He is causing strongholds to fall. Hallelujah. It's not weapons of warfare that are carnal, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God has victory for his people. God has blessings for his people. Be strong. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. You'd think that would be the end of Rahab. We don't have any more mention of her until you get to Matthew 1 and 5. What in the world? Matthew 1 and 5, the genealogy of Jesus? And there's Rahab? Huh. Now, could be another Rahab, I don't know. But probably this one, who was strong and courageous, who believed that her family would be delivered. I'm telling you, be strong and courageous now, because your family needs you. Amen. Your family needs you to be strong and courageous. The Lord wants you to stand for what it's right. The Lord wants you to believe him for the victory, because he is able. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can be strong. Now, be strong, as we know, occurs here in Haggai, as we read, and also in Joshua. But it's throughout the word of God. David was dying, and he told Solomon, be thou strong. The prophet told King Asa, be ye strong. I like what Isaiah wrote. In 35 and 4, say to them that are of a fearful heart. That seems to be a human frailty. That seems to be a human failing. We have a fearful heart. But the Lord says, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Oh, thank the Lord that there is reason for us to be strong in our faith and desire for the things of the Lord. So God spoke to Zerubbabel and Joshua and the people as they were attempting to rebuild the temple. These two individuals and the people of God are mentioned 5 times. And Haggai, you can read through in that short book and see these individuals, Zerubbabel and Joshua, and the people mentioned 5 times. The second time they were mentioned, it says they obeyed the voice of the Lord. The third time they are mentioned, it says the Lord stirred them up. The fifth time the Lord said, be strong and do the work. They needed to finish the work of the temple. The Lord admonished them, and Haggai in particular, consider your ways. We can't just decide to go any old way and go our way. Isaiah warned, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our own way is not going to get it done. Consider your way. Consider the direction. Consider the attitude. Consider the actions. Just as the Lord said, he told them, you don't have enough to eat. You don't have enough to clothe yourselves. You earn wages, but those wages become lost. You look for much, but you have little. You need to consider your way. Oh, God, help us to understand there's a way that God wants us to walk. There's a way that brings honor to the Lord. There's a way that pleases him, and that's the direction we've got to go. Amen. They needed to consider, Zerubbabel, Joshua, the people, they needed to consider the work of the temple more important than anything else. They were building up their own homes. They were building up their own situations. But they needed to recognize the temple of God needs to be finished. That work needs to be accomplished above everything else. And so I ask you today, on the beginning of this new year, what is most important in your life? What is most important? Achieving your own goals, going your own way, following through with your own desires, or doing what God is pleased with. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful he gave the promise, I am with you. You can read it again in what is spoken to Zerubbabel and Joshua and the people of God. My spirit remains with you, fear not. I will fill this house with glory. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. I will give peace. It just goes on and on of what God is able to do. I thank the Lord that twice he declared to them, I am with you. God encouraged Israel with these words. And Zerubbabel in particular is addressed in Zechariah 4 and 6, where the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel. God says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Thank God that there is a comparison, perhaps, of might and power that could be recognized as far as man's ability, man's direction. But I'm glad we're able to exceed that. I'm glad we're able to go beyond that and recognize there is power in the Spirit of God. There is might in the glory of the Lord that we're going to rely upon and we're going to believe God for, and the Lord is going to bring forth his direction and his power. Remember, they were sent to Jerusalem by the decree of Cyrus the king. They faced opposition and interference. They wondered perhaps how it was going to turn out. What were they going to be able to accomplish? And then they left the work alone for a time until Haggai said, consider your ways. The Lord is declaring for you to be strong and courageous. And then another king made his decree. Darius said, leave the work of the house of God alone. This is a heathen king now. This is a king who doesn't know the hand of God, the power of God. Leave the work of this house of God alone. Give to these men so that their expenses are covered. Give them animals to sacrifice day by day. God's able to step in and take care of situations way beyond anything that we can imagine. I would think that they would have thought any one of those three conditions being met would be amazing. But God steps in and says, you leave these people alone. In fact, you leave them alone, but you give them what they need to cover the expenses. And because they use animals in sacrifice to worship me, you give them the animals to sacrifice. And you do it day by day, not just once a week or once a month, but every day you provide the animals that they need for sacrifice. Oh, our God knows how to bring forth the needs. My God knows how to provide. He knows how to bless. He knows how to bring forth. And let me remind you, what the basic work was, it was one of restoration. Restore that temple. Bring it back up to the place that it was. Let there be a wall that is erected. Let there be the temple come forth. Let there be offerings and sacrifices. Let there be the teaching of the law. And all of that restoration took place. Oh, I'm thankful our God knows how to restore. I'm thankful our God knows how to bring it all back together. I'm thankful our Lord can arrest our attention when we're wandering off in the wrong way and say, come back to this place. Come back to where you bring honor to me. Come back to where you are serving me in my will, and I will bless you with restoration. Praise God. It's amazing that a heathen king would order and finance the rebuilding of the temple. I'm wondering today, is there a government ruler? Is there someone who is going to finance the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem in the last days? Because the Bible lets us know, according to prophecy, that there has to be a temple for the Antichrist to sit in. The Bible lets us know he's going to sit in the temple and he's going to claim himself to be God. Daniel said there's going to be abomination of desolation, and all of that stuff is going to take place in a temple. God can bring it about. So be strong. Hallelujah. Be strong. Oh, praise God. Another temple. Is what the Bible talks about that we become a part of, and it's going to be filled with greater glory. Thank God for the promise of the Spirit. Thank God for the ancient prophecies, centuries old, that would come to pass. Ezekiel writing, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to put my spirit within you. Hallelujah. Thank God that the Lord would say it forth in his word. And Joel, we know to be 800 years before the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Thank God for the focus on the Spirit in the short span of the time of Jesus' ministry, where John the Baptist would prophesy, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus would tell about the abundance of the well of water springing up into everlasting life and rivers of living water that would flow. He told of the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, in 3 consecutive chapters in the book of John after his resurrection. Again, multiple mention of the Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He told them, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That wasn't the end of the mention of power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Thank God that the Lord would give those promises. The Lord would remind again and again, just like the repetition of be strong and courageous. The Lord repeated again and again that his Spirit would be poured out. And thank God, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Thank God, nobody needs to be left out. Nobody needs to be left in obscurity. Everyone can be filled. Everyone can be blessed. Everyone can have the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. Hallelujah. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, if it was just Peter saying that, without any authority from the Word of God, without any command of the Lord speaking this truth, that would be different. But it's God. It's God who is saying, you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the promise is unto you. Now, the disciples continued the temple. We know they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, and there's that lame man, and he's healed. Praise God. In other instances where they're at the temple. But really what was happening was they were becoming the temple. Okay? You're familiar with these scriptures. I'm not telling you anything new. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? 2 Corinthians 6, 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. Don't let there be any agreement with idols. Don't let there be any mixing with things that are going to take you away from the power and the presence of God. Move into that realm of understanding. I am the temple. His spirit dwells in me. He walks in me. He dwells in me. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Thank God. You are the temple, not the physical building that we sit in here today, but the body of Christ can step into the realm of understanding. I am the dwelling place of the Lord. The Spirit of God dwells within me. That's why he says, be strong and courageous. That's why he directs me in the paths of victory. That's why he says, I am with you. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 and 20, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Thank God for a firm foundation. Thank God Jesus Christ is that foundation. Thank the Lord he used the apostles to teach and to preach and to lay a firm foundation for us to build upon, to become a holy temple in the Lord, habitation of God through his Spirit. Praise God. Amen. You getting tired of that? Is that old news? Is that old stuff? Or are you still thrilled to understand God called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light? God said, you're a chosen generation. You're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a peculiar, special people. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord to bring about a change within us. You are lively stones. You're built up a spiritual house. You're a holy priesthood. You offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Thank God that we can move into the realm of understanding a spiritual house is a spiritual temple, and we move in that realm of the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Spiritual sacrifice is acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. Now, notice as we look at the two who were designated or told, be strong, Joshua, and he destroyed Jericho. Zerubbabel and Joshua, they built up the temple. You've got to be strong to tear some things down. And you've got to be strong to build some things up. Amen. Don't get those confused. Don't be building up your kingdom. Don't be building up your situations. Don't be building up your way. No, submit yourselves to the hand of God. Amen. Walk with the Lord in obedience. Tear down the things that he is displeased with. Build up the things that he wants to see in your life. Praise God. Thank the Lord. There is nothing worth holding on to in this world that would make you miss out on heaven. Nothing. Nothing. And I need to tell you today, the only alternative to heaven is hell. You've got to understand this is serious. This is necessary for us to grab a hold of. I cannot play around with the idea that I can just kind of waltz my way through it all and make it into heaven, I hope. No, I've got to avoid hell with everything that's within me. And I've got to pursue and desire and strive for and reach after that place called heaven. Praise God. And be there with my loved ones. Be there with the apostles. Be there with the Lord my God and exalt his name forever. Because he will be the temple. Praise God. I'll be moving into the realm where I have his presence forever. Thank God. And there's no devil. There's no sickness. There's no sin. There's no lies. There's no fear. There's no unbelief. Praise God. We're in his presence forever. Glory to God. Amen. Now, New Year's resolutions. Oh, my goodness. Exercise more. Eat better. That's good. But godliness is better. Bodily exercise profits a little. Paul let us know that. But godliness is profitable in all things. Godliness gives promise in this life and the life to come. Oh, I love Ephesians 6:10. Finally, now this is not a final finally. It's finally, I'm giving you something really important here. He introduces the spiritual armor. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise God. My focus needs to be on him. My walk needs to be with him. My obedience needs to be in him. Hallelujah. My attention needs to be on him. Finally, take the helmet of salvation. Take the breastplate of righteousness. Make sure you've got the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Put on the shoes of the gospel, the good news, and then pray always in the Spirit. Don't leave that out. Amen. Sometimes we list the armor. Don't forget praying in the Spirit, because that's an attitude thing. Jude said, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost is how you build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Keep walking in that way. Keep serving in that way. Thank the Lord for the grace of God that brings salvation. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Thank God there's deliverance. Thank God, whatever addiction is a problem, our God is able to bring about a change, because the salvation is common. The salvation is so great. The salvation is eternal. Those are words from the Scripture that let us know how great this salvation is. But we don't want to abuse grace. Don't use grace as an excuse for sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Paul is very emphatic about it. God forbid. Don't fool yourself into thinking because the grace of God is abundant. The grace of God will abound. You can go ahead and do whatever you want. You can go ahead and live however you want. You can go ahead and do things that God is not pleased with, because God's love will take care of it. God's grace will overlook it. Oh no, God forbid. We're not going to abuse grace. Jude warned about ungodly men who turn grace into lasciviousness or an evil and immorality. And we've got to move into that realm of being strong in the Lord. Be strong in grace. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Reminded me of John when he wrote in 1 John 2:12-14, I've written unto you little children. I've written unto you fathers. I've written unto you young men. And he told the young men, you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Praise God. Oh, the Lord help us to continue in that realm, because God's grace is not weak. It's not namby-pamby. It's not milk toast, or however you want to describe it. It's not something that is just easily broken and easily overcome. Oh, no, God's grace is strong. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace will bring you into salvation. Hallelujah. And truth will keep you there. Be strong in the Lord. Amen. We finished last year strong. God wants us to start this year strong and continue on in that strength and have that blessing from the Lord, because we'll see what the Lord will do as he gives you strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's always going to be progress. There's always going to be moving ahead. There's always going to be strength to defeat the enemy. There's always going to be strength to move you into victory. Praise God. Amen. You just look across the page in Isaiah 41:10, and again, there is the strength that God has promised. There is the command, fear not. There is the assurance, I am with you, and I will give you strength. Praise God. Put these verses up, bro. We just need to let the Word of God speak to us here this morning. Go ahead and start with Isaiah 40 and 31. Stand with me here now. We're going to read these verses together, because you need to be assured that God has victory in mind for you. Isaiah 40 and 31, and then we'll go to 41 and 10. I want you to recognize there's strength that God has provided. There's strength that God has blessed us with. There's strength that the Lord has in store for you, and thank God it's there. All right, read it together. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's your promise. That's what God wants to do for you. Oh, the devil wants you to stumble. The devil wants you to faint. The devil wants you to fall. The devil wants you to just step back and say, I can't do it. No, God says. God says you can fly, you can run, you can walk. However you need to make the progress, it's going to be there. All right, chapter 41, verse 10. Thank God that the promises are there for the Lord to do a work and the strength that he wants to bring into our experience is going to continue. It's not going to stop. It's not going to falter. It's not going to fail. Let's read it. Fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Praise the Lord right now. Yes, well, let's come and pray here for a bit. Praise God. Let's rejoice in our God who is declaring, you can be strong. You can be courageous. You can move in the realm of victory. You can see the hand of God upon your family. You can see the Lord minister and bless. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, let's give praise to our God. Let's give praise to our God. Hallelujah.